Most people think talent is what makes the difference. But let me be real with you. It wasn't talent that actually got me here. It was a decision to show up consistently. I had to do this when no one was clapping, when I was told that I didn't have enough experience, even when the path to becoming a project manager wasn't clear. You mind if I share a short story with you? I walked into an interview for my first real project manager role while still working on my master's in project management. I hadn't graduated yet, and I'm not trying to impress you about going after a master's. See, I chose that path because I didn't have enough experience to actually qualify for the PMP exam, and I thought earning a degree would help me break in. You know me. I showed up suited, prepared, and ready to lead. My goal was clear. We must get the title, own the project, and prove that I was ready. But the hiring manager took one look at my resume and said, "You got the theory, but not the experience." And just like that, everything I thought made me qualify suddenly felt insufficient. Could have walked away and waited, but that moment gave me something more valuable than any degree or any credential could have given me, and that was clarity. See, what I realized, I wasn't chasing the title. I was chasing the responsibility. I wanted to be in the room, solving real problems, leading real projects. Wait a minute. See, at that point, I felt that I had nothing to lose. So, like I always tell you, family, curiosity as a project manager is key. So I asked him, forget about the PM title. What role would you give me for me to understand the experience I need for the project management role? Meaning, what role would you require that I take in order to get to this particular PM title? That bold question during an interview unlocked something for me to this very day I am so grateful for. See, that hiring manager leaned back and said, honestly, that would probably be a business analyst. Therefore, I found a role as a business analyst. It didn't come with the title I wanted, but it gave me the necessary skill set that I needed. Listen, family. As the saying goes, sometimes the front door is locked, but that doesn't mean you're locked out. Oh, I like that, family, because you have to understand this means you may just need a new set of keys to get in, which brings me to my first principle. When you don't have the experience of a PM, take an alternative route. Principle one, when you don't have enough experience of it as a PM, take an alternative route. See, when you're told you don't have enough experience, that's not a dead end. That's actually a detour. When the PM title isn't the only way in, supporting roles like a business analyst, a project coordinator, or a QA lead can be your actual training ground. Why is this important? See, if you only chase after the PM title, you'll miss the skills, the relationships that you could build along the way. That route may be longer, but it will make you stronger. Experiment with these actionable tips. Position yourself for what I call PM prep. In your resume interviews, highlight how your coordination, your documentation, and team communication directly supported project outcomes. Next one, shadow the PM in your current role. Ask to observe project meetings, offer to take notes, or even follow up on action items. This builds visibility and trust. And the last and final one, keep a win journal. What does that look like? Well, that basically means you're going to track your deliverable, how you led, or even how you even improve. Later, this becomes your project portfolio, even without the official title. Principle number two, outlasting the doubt was the biggest win of them all. See, talent burns bright, doubt burns longer, but showing up every day, even when you're second guessing yourself, is how you build the real confidence as well as the credibility. Why is this important? Most people quit before they even get good. They stay in the game, especially when you feel behind, is the unspoken edge that turns potential into performance. Experiment with these actionable tips. Ask questions that reinforce what you're trying to do. For example, when you say soon, you must follow up. Well, what does that mean? That means you need to ask, what is the date? Next one, use a weekly reflection ritual. That basically means write down what went well, what didn't, and what did you actually learn? Track patterns. This will, you'll start seeing actually where your growth is. And the last and final one, remind yourself why you started. Keep your why visible, whether it's your family, whether it's freedom, you know, freedom from a previous job that you were working, or just proving something to yourself. You need to find yourself like an anchor, meaning you need to be like an anchor on a ship and anchor exactly into it. Principle number three, ask the question everyone else is too embarrassed to ask. Curiosity wins. See, everyone is nodding in meeting, but few, and I do mean this, few are truly understanding. Asking the obvious question takes courage, but it clears the air. It uncovers assumptions and it drives clarity. Why is this important? Project managers aren't supposed to know everything. They're supposed to uncover everything. Your job is to dig, clarify, as well as translate. Experiment with these actionable tips. Use framing phrases like, can I clarify something before we move on? Or my favorite, I want to make sure I understand this from a delivery standpoint. Next one, document the answer publicly. You already knew documentation was going to be a hint. Recap your question and answer it in a follow-up email or note so everyone benefits from the clarity. And the last and final one, turn questions into a glossary. This is my secret sauce, my secret weapon. So if you're on principle number three, you really got a bonus, because you know why I do that, why I turn my questions into a glossary or even keep a glossary? Because it sets you up for success, because you're not having to ask the same thing over and over again. And people, they'll help you once, they'll assist you twice, but the third time coming around, they're going to be frustrated with you. Like, did you not write it down? So anyway, I digress. Back to what we're saying. Build your own reference doc for repeat terms, tools, or business processes you keep encountering. Principle number four, follow up until you get the answer, even if it's awkward. See, chasing down answers isn't pushy. It's actually being professional. Projects stall not because people are malice, but because they're busy. Your job, your duty, your mission is to keep the ball rolling. Why is this important? Consistency and following up signals ownership. It shows stakeholders, project team members, and sponsors you're on top of things, even when they're not. Experiment with these actionable tips. Track waiting on tasks. What does that look like? Maintain a section in your tracker or notes with the owner, date set, and last follow-up. Next one, use friendly accountability language. You know how that looks. It's just basically like this. Hey, I'm just circling back. Let me know if you need anything from me to move forward on this. And the last and final one, escalate professionally. I want to go deeper on that. Maybe one day I will, but escalate professionally. If it's crucial, escalate through a proper channel, but always give the person a heads up first. I got to say what I got to say. I'll keep it at a very high level. One of the things I've seen, especially my new project managers, where they fell at, is they don't give the person that they're about to escalate on a heads up, an opportunity, a chance to course correct. Because when you don't do that, what you create is friction between the individual or the group. And it's easy to course correct that by basically saying, hey, I need to know if you're going to do this, because now I have to go to my next step, which is basically escalating. Anyway, I digress. Principle number five, feedback only hurts when you confuse it with an attack. See, feedback isn't a verdict on your worth. It's just data. But if you let your ego react before your logic processes it, you will lose the lesson. Or to quote Eminem, you will lose control. Why is it important? As a project manager, you will receive feedback from every angle. You got clients, executive, project team members, sponsors. Your ability is to take it without taking it personally is a leadership superpower. Experiment with these actionable tips. Ask for feedback before it's given to you. Create a culture where it's normal to reflect and improve, especially after a project milestone. Next one, pause before reacting. It kind of looks like this, family. Say, thanks for sharing that. I would like to sit down with it and come back with my thoughts. And last and final one, separate the delivery from the truth. Sometimes feedback is poorly delivered, but still holds a valuable message. Principle number six, taking an unwanted project gave me real experience. See, a lot of people want to avoid the ugly project, you know, the one no one wants. That's where you learn the most. They build resilience, creativity, and resourcefulness fast. Why is this important? See, high visibility, low-risk projects are rare, and I do mean it's rare, but you gain the trust by showing that you can navigate ambiguity and fix what's broken and turn chaos into clarity. Experiment with these actionable tips. Turn it into a case study. Document the situation, what you improved, and how, and use it later to showcase your value or even during your performance appraisal. Next one, over-communicate your wins. When you are leading an overlook initiative, shine light on the progress through weekly updates and visible dashboard. And the last and final one, set boundaries even on low glory type projects. What does that mean? Just because no one else wanted it doesn't mean you have to burn out on it. Principle number 7, you don't need to be technical, but you need to be effective. See, you're not here to write code or configure databases. You're here to lead people, remove blockers, and deliver outcomes. Clarity and momentum are your tools of success. Why is this important? Many new PMs feel imposter syndrome in technical environments, but being non-technical isn't a liability. It's actually a strength. So you have the ability to bridge communication and drive progress. Now, I know I got some PMs out there to say, well, if they're non-technical, how are they going to bridge the communication gaps? Well, if someone that is technical, if they can't explain it to me, that I haven't done my job to ask the right probing questions. As a project manager, we have to ask those questions, and to a point where I'll even say, when I was getting started off and I wasn't that technical, I'll say, could you explain it like if you were explaining it to your kid that's 5 years old or that's 10 years old? Because you have to understand that we overcomplicate things sometimes. Well, if you get this API and do this and okay, what is an API and why do we need it? You have to ask those probing questions, family. All right, let me go to experiment. Experiment with these actionable tips. Ask, what does success look like to the user? Shift the conversation from implementation to impact. Next one, translate complexity. Build your skill in breaking down what's said and stand-ups into plain English updates for the stakeholder. And the last and final one, own the process. Lead daily scrums, retrospectives, or risk assessments like a pro. Your role is to orchestrate, not execute. Principle number 8, you don't need authority to be seen as a leader. See, leadership isn't about who signs off on the timesheet. It's about who people turn to for clarity, decisions, and confidence when things get messy. Why is this important? PM often lead without formal authority. Influence matters more than your title. You earn it through trust, through consistency, through competency, not just a job description. Experiment with these actionable tips. Lead with solutions, not problems. Don't just report blockers. Propose next steps or solutions or trade-offs. Next one, model accountability. Do what you say you're going to do and follow up with others privately and respectably. Next one, create a space for others to shine. Make teammates feel heard, supported, and safe to fail forward. That, in my opinion, is real leadership. Well, family, if you stayed this long, I truly appreciate it. See, you don't need to be the smartest in the room. You don't need to have the perfect title or background. What you do need is consistency to show up, ask hard questions, follow through when others don't, and lead whether or not you have permission. Talent may open the door, but consistency is what keeps you in the room. If any part of this resonated with you, don't just take notes. Take the next step. Whether it's about asking the uncomfortable question or following up again or volunteering for a messy project, do something today your future self will thank you for later. I go by the name ED for you smart and intelligent folks out there. That just simply means Ed. Until next time.